What's going on, everyone? Thanks for checking out another episode of First in Sim. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and on today's show, I'm being joined by G2019. Hope you enjoy. All right, I'm being joined here today by G2019. What's going on, man?
Hey, Lucid. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time and chance to chat.
Oh, absolutely, man. I've really enjoyed the podcast that you brought to the league. A lot of what you're saying about how you feel kind of reminds me of how I felt when I first joined, because this was my first league. So I just hearing you talk about it just kind of, like I said, reminds me of how I felt when I first joined a few seasons ago. So it's been awesome to hear your take and just see what you've brought to the glad to have you on.
Awesome. Thank you.
So how did you discover simulation leagues?
Yeah, completely random chance, to be honest with you. I know a lot of folks, get brought in because they have friends in the league or they've been in another sim league or something like that. I just happened to be scrolling Reddit. So good job, recruiting team. I saw a post on the Wisconsin Badgers subreddit, and it just sounded really interesting. A simulated league where you control one player, where you can make your player better by contributing to the league and creating media and making it more realistic. It just sounded like a really cool idea. So I decided, hey, let me read into this a little more. And of course that led to, hey, why don't I just make a player? And if I like it, great. If I don't like it, then, it's whatever. And then, within, I'd say at most a week after joining, I was hooked, man. I was in.
Yeah, that's about how I was too. As soon as I created, it was like a week or so of downtime, I guess, after I created my player, and then we rolled into the Prospect Bowl, and that was the first time I got to experience a sim. And from that point on, I was hooked. I was like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Like, this is perfect for me.
The Prospect Bowl, fantastic. And a big shout out to those folks, especially like the rookie mentor team who put that on, because yeah, that's a terrific tool to kind of chop up the monotony of the off season and, give those new users something to look forward to. And actually, shout out to my wife, Mrs. McHitz, who's actually sitting next to me currently, just listening to us podcast here. We finally convinced her to create. So she has created, Mrs. Stacks McHitz, an offensive lineman, and she will actually be in Wednesday's Prospect Bowl. So, shout out to Mrs. McHitch. She'll be playing for Buenos Aires. So,
yes, we did see that name come across the new creates list, and we had a quick chat about the fact that that was probably your wife. So,
It's not a multi.
We are glad to hear the confirmation there. So, what point? I know you were talking about your player creation. What point in the season did you create? Were you a trade deadline create, or did you come in kind of after the trade deadline?
I want to say that I entered actually maybe during Ultimus week or right before it. So I was kind of a late create. Obviously I didn't know anything about the league, so I didn't know the advantage to creating at the trade deadline and those kinds of things. Created when I found it and hit the ground running, and I'm pleased to say, other than the trade deadline creates, if you look at that TPE tracker, I think it's all the trade deadline creates, and then I'm the next one up. So, yeah, I've just been grinding since I started and soaking up all the TPE I can and just loving the experience.
Yeah, I was the same way. I created late. I didn't get a chance to get picked up by any team or play that first season like that. So when I look at it, I see the trade deadline creates ahead of me on the TPE tracker. And I look at what I can do to try to catch up. And I know it's a long shot, but that's still one of my goals before my player retires. I got to catch those guys.
Oh, for sure. We got to make up that ground. And, honestly, my predictions this year were pitiful just because, first season in the league, not really knowing the teams going in. And it was kind of just like guessing. I mean, not even kind of, it was guessing. So I'm hopeful that my predictions can get better next season and seasons, moving forward, and mock draft TPE and that kind of a thing, just as my knowledge of the league continues to grow. to make up those gaps.
Yeah, there was definitely some kind of weird, I guess, sim outcomes this season as well. So you can blame some of your prediction weeks on some crazy sim outcomes.
I did have a perfect week 1 week, though. I got my tops pack and everything. Sorry, my dots.
Oh, there you go. So,
nice. Yeah, no, it's even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of. That's a good accomplishment in this league. So was the ISFL your first real sim league?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like I said, I kind of told the story of how I found it, and it was my first one, and I'm now in three. So that tells you just, you know, and you can hear it in my voice just as I talk about it too. Like, I absolutely adore this league. I love it. And so I wanted to reach out and kind of expand my horizons and pop into some others as well. So yeah, I'm currently also in PBE and in SHL.
Nice. I'm actually in both of those. PBE, this will be my first season playing, and the SHL, I'm just got drafted to my majors team, so I'm a couple seasons in over there now. But
oh, nice. Who do you play for in PBE?
In PBE right now, I am part of the Wheelers.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. What do you play?
I created at third baseman, but I've been playing outfielder for the Wheelers since I've been picked up. So
nice.
That's my secondary position over there. But I'll definitely have to keep a lookout for your player. I know they all got the McHits or something similar to that name.
A little different there. So in SHL, I kept the McHits because it made sense. In PBE, I actually went with CJ Brandonson, and it's actually like an ode to my sons. I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old named Brandon and CJ. So I decided to combine them and use that. And CJ to me just sounds like a baseball name, to be honest. So yeah, CJ Brandonson, starting pitcher for the Swift Steeds. That'd be me in my first season in PBE as well. So
awesome. And you're playing, I think you said for the Swifties, right?
Yep. Yep.
Nice. I think there's a, from what I can tell, there's a little bit of rivalry there. So
there is. Whatever you do, don't look at my ERA right now. Because, yeah, it's been a rough start to the season for me. But, you know, it's just like ISFL, and you know this. We can only control the things we can control. So it's trying to grind that TPE and keep building, and hopefully the sim gods will smile upon me.
So where does that that Scony Mick name come from? Where did you create that from?
Yeah, so I'm from Wisconsin, so that's kind of the Scony part. Maybe you're familiar. There's a it's not a sim, but it's a sports game. It's actually like a number guessing game. It's called Baseball by the Numbers.
I had somebody else on talking about that. Maybe I believe it was IO probably.
Sure. Yeah. Talked about it. Yeah, I think he's in there too. Anyway, that's the first like online league I joined that was anything similar to this. And I am not a very original person. So Scony for, you know, being from Wisconsin. And then I just came up with the mixed swings. So it was Scony mixed swings there. And so I decided when I created an ISFL to just kind of carry over an offshoot of that. And because I was creating a kicker, I went with Mick Kicks. And obviously that's developed into Mick Hits with my position change, which I know we'll talk about. And there are some other kind of fun nicknames I've used in the Norfolk locker room within that name, depending on the events of our games and things like that. So it's been a fun name just to goof around with.
That's awesome. That's a good backstory to hear. So speaking of your initial creation, we'll go ahead and jump right into that. What made you pick kicker initially?
Yeah, you know, I did deliberate hard on that, and I looked at they had a sheet which said basically how saturated each position was. And even though kicker, every team only has one kicker, I felt like there might be, you know, room for me there. And I like kicker just because of the involvement throughout the game. You know, you're constantly scoring points. So it sounded like a position that would shoulder a fair amount of the responsibility. Obviously, throughout the scouting process, DSFL teams are talking to me and asking me if I'd be willing to position swap. I said, absolutely, whatever helps the team. And I think at that time I told teams pretty much anything but defensive line and offensive line, just because those didn't sound fun to me, at that time, at least. And, you know, obviously then I get drafted to Norfolk and switch to linebacker, and that's been good.
Yeah. So how have you found that position switch? I know you said that's been good, but how's that been going over to linebacker and definitely getting more involved into, I guess, every play on defense, I would say.
Yeah. So I've learned a lot about the sim just watching, you know, I've been able to watch every one of our games this season, except for one live, and I watched the other one on replay. So yeah, just kind of watching how it operates. I'm actually glad in retrospect that I was not a kicker, just because as much RNG as there is in this thing, kickers have it even worse. You know, my only experience as a kicker was in the Prospect Bowl, and my 50 TPE build hit 250 plus yard field goals. And I'm just thinking, I'm imagining a world where, you know, I get my player up to like a 1500 TPE at the peak of my career and end up, you know, losing an Ultimus on a 19 yard chip shot field goal that my max TPE kicker misses and just being pissed.
You know, and that is definitely something that wouldn't surprise me to see at all from this sim going on right now.
Right, right. So, yeah, as far as linebacker itself goes, it's been fun. You know, my archetype is a versatile linebacker, and I guess what I'd like to see moving forward is I'd like to see my player create more turnovers, get to the quarterback and into the backfield more often. Right now I'm basically a tackling machine, which is fun, but you know, kind of looking to continue to build and make some more impact plays.
Awesome. I know you've been pretty involved so far this season. So do you think you're going to hear your name called for some awards?
Yeah. So I'm actually in a unique position where I'm on the awards committee. So without spoiling anything, I'm the Norfolk representative for that. I think there's a chance. We have fantastic players in the DSFL right now, especially in my draft class. I really can't say enough about my class. It's fantastic. And so it's heavy competition for awards across the board, and we'll see what happens. You know, like I said, a lot of tackles from me. I actually did manage to break the new sim record for tackles in a season. I believe I had 135 this season. But, you know, there are other players that force more turnovers or manage to get sacks and things like that. So it's really going to come down to what the voters are looking for. And, you know, either way, it was a solid season and I had a ton of fun and looking forward to be even better, being even better next season.
So what would you say was the best moment for you or your favorite moment in the DSFL so far?
Oh, I love this question. You know, I'll give you two, and I wasn't going to give you two, but I think I have to give you two. So the first one is just draft night. Sitting actually in the exact chair I'm sitting in right now in my basement, draft up on the TV, wife by my side, just like she is right now, watching the draft unfold and wondering where I was going to go. Obviously, you know, being London yourself, I think you knew that I was interested in London. Norfolk was my number one. And to be honest with you and all of our listeners, Norfolk and London were the only two teams I really cared to play for. And that was simply because of connections that I made in scouting, and also just the vibes in the locker room activity, the fun, the positivity is just so, so important for me. And so that's why those are my top two teams. So, you know, sitting, watching the draft, Bondi goes with Ken Oath, one overall, makes complete sense. I'm not sure where I'm going to go at this point. Obviously a late create. I've had some good discussions with teams, but just not sure how it's going to go. And to have Norfolk, you know, roll the dice on me at two overall was unreal. Jumped out of my seat, gave like a Tiger Woods at the Masters type fist pump. The hype was hard to describe, honestly. And even just thinking back to that, I get hyped because, you know, it just shows the faith that that organization had in me and that Negs had in me. And I just feel like I really couldn't have landed in a better place. And things have only gotten better since then, just being involved with that team and in that locker room. The second moment would be our win against Minnesota this year. Some of us are taking the Ulta Mini by transitive property because we're the only team that managed to beat Minnesota this year, which you want to talk about sim gonna sim and sim having wacky results. I mean, that was crazy. The pieces fell into place for us on that night. We ended up beating them by, I believe, 2 touchdowns. I had an 89-yard pick six in the fourth quarter to kind of help us pull away a little bit. But yeah, just the clock hitting zeros and us recognizing that we had actually beaten Minnesota with the tremendous run they've had and the tremendous team they have and all the capped players they have. It was fantastic. You know, we're watching that game live and in our locker room, we're like, okay, it's the end of the first quarter. We're actually, you know, we're tied or we're winning. Oh, it's halftime. We're still in it. You know, it's the third quarter. We're tied. And we're like taking those little victories because, you know, we were winless at that point and we had taken some lumps and taken some really bad losses. So, yeah, to be able to pull a result like that was just fantastic. And a bunch of us hopped into voice chat and we were hyping each other up. And it's just, you know, that's what this league is all about. And that was just a ton of fun.
Yeah. I know, going back to your draft night there, we in London, we thought we were actually going to get you. We came into draft night prepared to pick you. We thought you were coming to London. We thought Norfolk was going to take Anya. And you were going to be sitting on the board for us there at three. And that was, we were surprised when they called your name. We were like, oh, okay. Well, you know, so we had you and Anya at one and two. So we just, you know, rolled right into selecting Anya Mind with that third pick. But, yeah, we just didn't see that. It sounded like Anya had made a really good connection to Norfolk. So, we had thought that that connection there might have been a little stronger. So we were a little surprised when your name was called there too.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks for sharing that, and you know, I definitely take that as a compliment. And you know, it's a great organization in London as well, and I know Anya is a terrific user as well. So yeah, just a really humbling experience, and obviously I'm really proud that I ended up where I did and that things are working out well.
So what's your time been like in Norfolk? I know you said you're glad that you ended up where you did. That was your top destination. How's things been there?
Yeah, you know, I was able to come in right away and get involved as, you know, kind of a leader. That's something that I do in my professional life, and that's kind of a part of my personality. I'm actually an assistant principal by trade. So being able to come into a locker room and kind of be a leader and rally a young team and hype other people up and support other people and make sure other people are having fun, making sure people are feeling valued. That's so right up my alley. And I'm so thankful to Negs and to my teammates and to the alums for, you know, pushing me to take those responsibilities on. It's been fantastic. So I was lucky enough to be a captain this past season. I was lucky enough to enter into the war room this past season. I've been doing some scouting for the upcoming DSFL draft for us. It's just been fantastic, and I feel super lucky to be in that position. You know, we've obviously had some tough results this past season, but you would never know it by looking at our locker room. We've created a culture where, you know, we have certain places where folks can vent, and many times that's like in my DMs, which is fantastic. And then we build them up, and then we move on, and we get the next one, and we go into every game thinking we have a chance, because – if we can beat Minnesota by 2 scores, anything can happen on any night in this league.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's just really been fantastic. I can't say enough about the people there, about the team. I always joke that I'd just be a DSFL lifer if I could. I'd just like stay in Norfolk perpetually. But I think that 250 TPE cap would get annoying after a while, seeing as how I'm almost there. So.
Yeah, you know, some people choose to retire after that fourth season. They just don't want to leave, but
I'm too ambitious for that.
And I know you spoke of Negs there. You're coming in and his first season taking over as GM and kind of rebuilding the brand and the culture there in Norfolk. How's it been seeing Negs take over this season and kind of get things going there for you guys?
Negs is absolutely fantastic. I consider him one of my best friends in the league, absolutely instrumental in the experience that I'm having here. And the person that I hit it off with the most just in the scouting conversations. I think we both came into that scouting conversation feeling like it would kind of be the standard, like I had had with GMs and he had with prospects. And we ended up talking that first conversation for like 2, 3, 4 hours, I think, back and forth. I think he was at an airport. coming back from visiting his girlfriend or something. And we just kept chatting. He's a great dude. He's super supportive. We share a lot of the same views on team building and on just really like how to treat people and how to build other people up. So I feel like he and I really jive, and we're also both hyper competitive. So it's nice for us to be able to chat about things and, you know, vent about things when needed, and then, you know, make sure we're still doing the right things and keeping it positive. So yeah, can't say enough about Negs. Definitely one of my favorite users in the league, and I wouldn't be having as much fun without him.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Negs. He's actually the only person from the league that I've met in person. I've actually met Negs in person. We went bowling. Me, my wife, him, and his girlfriend actually went bowling while he was in town out here. So
that's awesome.
He's a great guy. I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying your time over there in Norfolk with him. So
hey, question then. Did the ball actually get all the way to the pins, or did somebody intercept it on the way?
That's awesome. I mean, you know, as a teammate of his in Philly, I take that one a little to heart there. I do have to take the field immediately following all of those interceptions by Negs. So.
And honestly, that's one of the things I love about Negs, though. Like, he takes that in stride. One of the first things he told me was, like, you're going to learn that I'm kind of a meme in this.
Oh, yeah, he's a meme now.
And I was like, okay, dude, like, what? But he takes it, and he knows it's all in good fun. And I always make sure that he understands, you know, how important he is to me to balance out all the shit I give him. So, you know.
All right, everybody can laugh now, but Negs is a season or two away from really hitting that stride, and his numbers are going to take a big jump there, and nobody will be laughing at what he's doing on the field soon.
So. I can't wait to see it. He, you know, nobody deserves it more.
So your players in this season's ISFL draft, and there is a rumor among scouts that you've already named a destination that you want to land, and you're not really interested in going anywhere else. Do you want to tell us where that is and what went into your decision to go with, I'd call it a bold approach to the draft?
Yeah, let's talk about this. I was actually glad to see you put this question down, because I feel like rumors swirl and I'd rather people just heard it straight from me. My intention here, first of all, was not to tie any team's hands. I simply made a decision to let teams know what my preferred team was in the most respectful way that I could, and then simply let the chips fall where they may. I've told every team that scouted me that if they draft me, they're going to get my 100%. You know, integrity is huge for me. So I'm not somebody who is trying to force a move to a destination. I'm not somebody who is saying, well, you know, I'm going to go inactive, or I'm not going to give my best if you draft me and don't let me go there. You know, just to set the record straight, it's really none of that. And it was very important to me that folks knew that, especially because there are folks that I really like and really have connected with on some of these teams that I've had to have these talks with. So, you know, just to further elaborate, that team that I did want to go to, the destination, my top destination would be the Colorado Yeti. And that simply comes down to the users and the locker room environment. Coming from a locker room like Norfolk, where things are active, things are positive, it feels like home. I just felt like I would be remiss to not do whatever I could respectfully do in my power just to let teams know that that's where I wanted to go. And if that's where I could get, then great. And if not, that's fine too. The users in that locker room are fantastic. Obviously, you have Schwarz, you have Issa, you have Tesla there, you have Katarn there, you have Effie there, Wolkers is there as an alumni. Everybody else there is great. I know Le Carpatron's there as well. You know, it's a fantastic group of people, and I just felt like for me to go to a team for, you know, two or three seasons, it just made sense for me to do what I could, again, respectfully, to try to get to a place where I knew I could be happy and knew I could really enjoy that experience to the fullest. And that's not saying that I couldn't have that experience elsewhere, I just know I would have that experience in Colorado, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know some teams appreciate that, you know, that kind of approach. It may definitely turn some teams off when it comes to draft night. You know, certain teams will look at that and, you know, could possibly take that as, okay, well, that's where he wants to go. He doesn't want to play anywhere else, and kind of cross you off their minds. Or other teams could look at that and go, well, hopefully he's happy here too, and, you know, still take a chance on you. So,
yeah. And you know, again, let me set the record straight on that. I told everybody, no matter where I went, they were getting my 100%. I'm not trying to force a move. I'm trying to handle this as respectfully as possible. It was awkward, and I did have to have some difficult conversations with folks that I feel connected with, because, you know, I felt like I was letting folks down. So it's been tricky for me, to be honest with you. It really has. It's been difficult at times, but this is a decision that I've made. Some teams came back and, you know, they kind of sounded like, yeah, we're going to respect your wishes and we'll pass on you. Other teams have said they were going to take me off the board and then have since reached out and said they're not actually going to take me off their board. And so that makes things really interesting. And that's where, again, I want to reiterate, like, if I wanted to force a move somewhere, you know, I could really be a dick about it and go and do that. But the conversations that I'm having with folks from different teams, you know, you can ask them yourself. That's not what I'm doing. I've even had a GM reach out to me and say, so put yourself in my shoes. You're in this situation. You want to go here, but we're interested in you. You fall to us. Would you take your player? And I had to tell them yes. Honesty, integrity, being a good person, those are all so much more significant than me going to my chosen destination in a simulation football league. And the most important thing in this league is the users and the friendships that I've made, and I'm going to respect that above all else. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. I know in the question that you sent me ahead of time, you said if Colorado doesn't work, what other teams would I have on my list? Anybody who takes a chance on me is going to get my 100%. I'd say teams that have stood out as being extra interested or that I have some connections with would be Colorado, your team. And I'm sorry, Philadelphia, your team. Honolulu and Arizona also seem very interested. I know they're later in the first round. But yeah, those would be three other teams that I think I could potentially land on, if not Colorado.
Yeah, I know us in Philadelphia, I can't get into, you know, obviously too much detail there.
Of course,
we did have the conversation of, you know, the need for your player versus wanting your player to be happy, you know, if you happen to be on the board when we're picking. You know, do we take you or do we let you pass for, you know, somebody, you know, for the team that you want to go to? So we, you know, in the war room, we did have a full conversation about how to go about your request. So I can't say anything else outside of that, but it did spark at least a conversation in our war room about how to proceed with your particular player if you are to be available to us during the draft.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Absolutely. And again, it's not my intention to throw a wrench in people's plans. I know that's kind of what I did. But again, I've said it, you know, probably 10 times now. I just wanted to go about this as respectfully as I could and then say my piece and then let the chips fall where they may. And that's what I'm doing. So whatever, you know, whatever team calls my name Friday night when this thing airs, I'm going to be ready to rock. And I promise them they're going to get a good locker room presence, a leader, and somebody who's going to continue to max earn and try to make a name for himself in the league and help a team win. So I guess that's all I'll say about that.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the clarification, and I know the draft is started behind the scenes. You know, I'm sure you're aware of the draft works here. So
I could be on a team as we speak.
this may or may not influence your destination, or it may, you know, put you back on somebody's board or take you off of somebody's board. But I can't say much more outside of that. So
right.
So next season, after you've been drafted, are you looking to be called up immediately, or are you kind of open to playing down again?
Yeah, I've actually had that conversation with teams that have scouted me and said, like, you know, if you really need my player, then yeah, I'll come up. I'll do whatever I can to help the team. But if possible, I'd love to stay in Norfolk for another season or two. I really think we have something really special brewing with our management, with our current players, and hopefully those players we can snag in the upcoming DSFL draft. We did some really good things this past season. We had some players, you know, have some terrific seasons, and I really think we can build on that. I know your next question deals with Norfolk next season, so if you don't mind, I'll just segue right into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our goal is to challenge for a playoff spot next season. We went into last season having zero capped players, none. And when you looked at the TPE difference between us and other teams, it was kind of staggering at times. I know London was on the lower side of that too, unfortunately, so you can probably relate to that as well. We really feel like next season we'll have an offense that will absolutely be high-powered and a defense that will be vastly improved. I just wanted to name drop some folks, and obviously we can't assume call-ups, so this is assuming, you know, no call-ups. We'd have capped players on the offensive side of the ball in Malcolm Savage, our quarterback, Jeremy Krause and Matt Holford, our running backs, French Fries, one of our wide receivers, and Clifford Wilson, our offensive lineman, along with plenty of other high TPE players as well, probably between that 150 and 200 range. And then on the defensive side of the ball, where we really struggled this season, I'll be capped at linebacker. Stuart Hellraiser would be capped at defensive end. Spike Daniels would be capped at safety. And Kayoma would be capped at cornerback. And then again, some other solid earners there as well. So to go from going into last season with zero capped players to having all those capped players, hopefully, knock on wood, they don't get caught up, is fantastic. And, you know, we're going to be ready to compete.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you guys have like you guys have a team that's built for success in the near future.
We hope so. You know, I feel like Norfolk feels like it's owed just because they've had some tough seasons. We just are really happy with this group here. We all gel really well. I already talked about the locker room and just how I can't say enough about it, but we just have fantastic folks here, and hopefully we can get the job done next season.
So who's been your favorite members around the league that you've interacted with? They don't necessarily have to be in the Norfolk locker room, but if they all are, that's fine too.
Yeah. let me see. I took some notes on this. where did they go?
Don't want to forget anybody.
Are you skipping around on the questions on me, dude?
Slightly. Yeah, I am. Sometimes they just kind of go where the conversation flows.
All right. No, it's all good. Here we go. Yeah, I actually did media on this just after my first month in the league. You know, my month that felt like a year because I feel like I've been here forever already, which is amazing. And I wrote that media mainly to give me a venue to thank folks publicly because they really do mean a ton to me. For the purposes of the podcast and brevity, I'll limit that list and just name drop Schwarz, Issa, Negs, Tesla, Sonoklav, Skip, and Zephyr. Again, apologies to anybody else that feels missed by that. Those folks have been hugely instrumental in helping me, supporting me, building me up, believing in me. Sonoklav, Skip, and Zephyr are all teammates of mine that are just fantastic folks that are there day in and day out. And so it's just been a ton of fun, you know, going to my locker room every day and being able to talk with friends. Is fantastic.
Yeah, I've said, you know, basically since the start of my sim league career, but what makes these leagues awesome, or at least for me, is the communities that are around them. I did my whole last PT on that for, you know, what's the definition of success in this league. I just wrote about the, you know, the community that has been built around the ISFL and, you know, sim leagues in general. Cause I feel like when you look at that, there's always a user that's there that's willing to help. You come into this league, you can have no idea what you're doing and just kind of say, hey, I have no idea what's going on. Somebody point me in the right direction. And you'll have somebody that's not only willing to do it, but happy to do it and kind of show you the ropes around the league. And I just think when you have that kind of a community that welcomes new players, it's a great place to be.
I swear to God that the first two or three weeks I was in the league, every time I had a question, I feel like Schwarz was just there. Like,
oh yeah, Schwarz is awesome. To
ping Schwarz was just there, like lurking rookie chat, just waiting for somebody to ask a question so she could be helpful. Like,
yeah, Schwarz is one of the best rookie mentors. No offense to any other of the mentors that happen to listen, but when it comes to a mentor that seems to just always be in the chat, Schwarz is always there to answer any question. She's fantastic.
It's kind of funny. You know, just getting to know Schwarz, and I would consider Schwarz a friend at this point for sure. The incoming DSFL rookies, prospects, I saw have started, some of them have started to refer to Schwarz as God. Like, oh, this isn't working, or this bot isn't working. Should I ask God about it? And somebody asked that in the Norfolk server. I think it was yesterday. And I said, God said she went to sleep like 10 minutes ago. Why don't we let her be? You know, I'll try to help you out with this. So,
awesome.
Yeah, super funny. Can't say enough about Schwarz.
Oh, yeah. She's, like I said, she's great. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear there's some awesome interactions going on there with the rookies coming in. So, you've done some pretty interesting media pieces since you've been in the league. What's the favorite piece you put out since joining?
Yeah, my favorite piece is definitely that month in retrospective, just because it gave me a chance to share what my first month was like. But again, the main reason that I wanted to do that was just to thank people and to shout people out. People deserve praise. People deserve to understand that what they do has meaning. And this league has been such a positive thing for me, and just making connections with people, and just the diverse and outstanding and supportive users we have. Those people deserve shout outs for sure. And a lot more than I'm able to give them. So that was a fantastic piece. I think the runner up for that though would be my first podcast in the league, which was a DSFL draft review. And I'm not sure if you graded that one, Lucid.
Yeah, I'm basically the exclusive podcast grader at this point.
You're the dude. Hey, if you need help, hit me up. But anyway, it was me and Wolkers and Sid and Snowy Wolves and Green Bay Nathan. And it was just super cool. We were all hyped because the draft had just aired. And so we got to talk about everybody's impressions of the draft. And I got to kind of relive that night all over again, which I had touched on earlier in this interview. So that was just a really cool setup, hearing everybody's perspective.
That's awesome. I know, as the podcast creator, one of my favorite pieces that you've put out that I thought was incredibly interesting was the podcast where you featured your wife. Knowing now that she's created, it takes away a little bit of the, you know, that interesting aspect to it. But I just thought the fact that you were able to talk your wife into coming and featuring on a podcast about a fake football league that you play online or, you know, through forums and Discord, I thought I found myself laughing out loud a few times during some of your guys' interactions during that podcast. So just want to say I thought that one was pretty cool.
She says, thank you. She's feeling pretty proud of herself sitting next to me right now. yeah, that was a super fun one. And it's something that I had thought about. You know, I kicked that idea around since I started podcasting this past season. Just getting somebody's take on this whole thing who's not immersed in it. And I think, yeah, the most hilarious part of that was when we were talking about strategy and like what our GM should do as far as strategy with the sim. And Mrs. McHitz decided to tell me that I simply needed to tell Negs that we in Norfolk needed to, and I quote, just do all the football things. And I think the next game we beat Minnesota. So I'm convinced that it's the Mrs. McHitz strategy that put us over the top.
So what you're saying is when you guys played Minnesota, you guys, in fact, did all the football things.
We did, in fact, do all the football things in that game, if you look back. So, yeah, it's really Mrs. McHitz is a football mastermind. You know, I guess I don't know what else to say. Just sheer brilliance over here, and I'm just happy to stand in her light.
That's awesome. So as a user in this league, what are your goals? What are you looking for? Are there any kind of positions you want to reach or jobs that you'd like to get in this league?
Yeah, definitely. I do have aspirations of continuing in leadership roles in the league. you know, I would like to eventually become a DSFL GM. That's something that's very interesting to me. Just having the experience that I'm having in this league and learning from some fantastic people and seeing what people are doing around this league. It's a great league and a great way to get people hooked on the league as a whole and help new users find that enjoyment that I've found. So it's kind of a way to give back. And obviously there's a lot of management that goes into that as well, which I absolutely love. You know, eventually potentially move on to an ISFL GM role or a head office role. I'm an ambitious person, and I feel like I'm an ethical person. I feel like I'm a person with integrity, and I feel like I can assist here in a lot of different capacities. Aside from positions or jobs, you know, my goal is mainly to build hype around the league, within my teams, just make sure people enjoy this as much as they can, because I'm having a blast, so I want to make sure everybody else can have fun too. I'm the guy at the party who like has to walk around and make sure everybody's got a drink, like everybody's good, everybody's having a good time, because I actually get more enjoyment out of seeing other folks enjoying things than enjoying them myself, to be honest. So yeah, especially focusing on new creates like myself and making sure that they have that support and guidance and friendship that I had when I entered.
Yeah, that's, you know, like I said earlier when we first started this podcast, some of the things you say and listening to you talk about your experience or kind of what you want to bring to the league just reminds me of my outlook that I had when I first joined. And it's, I swear, some of the things you say are almost like identical to like things that I said in like my first couple podcasts when I was brand new to the league and talking about how much it had hooked me in and how, you know, how much I'd fallen in love with the league and the community. It's interesting to hear you talk about it sometimes, because I swear you're echoing some of the same thoughts that I had when I first was here.
It sounds like we need to hang out sometime, Lucid.
So, and as far as you being a GM, from what I've seen so far from you in the league and heard from scouts that have had conversations with you, I think you're definitely on the right track for that. I think if that's what you want, that is definitely something that you will reach in the future, because you so far have shown that you're going to be one of those members that is, you know, kind of way out in front for that type of position, and somebody that's going to become, or I can't say become, but that has become very involved in the league. So definitely looking forward to seeing that happen and seeing you achieve those goals.
Well, thank you very much.
So, that being said, what do you think that you bring to a team, and what makes you a great user in Locker Room Edition?
Yeah, I think if you talk to anybody in the Norfolk locker room, whether that's teammates or GMs or alumni, they would say I'm positive, I'm energetic, I do goof around quite a bit. But really, I just want to make sure that other people are excited about their performances and their contributions. You know, if somebody is really having a tough time on the field, I always want to highlight what they're bringing to the locker room, or vice versa. Just making sure people know that they're valued, because we all know the sim is going to sim. And there are players who have bad sim luck and the results on the field don't match the work they're putting in, what they really contribute to our team, those kinds of things. So I'm really all about building other people up. Like I said before, I'm really lucky to have been involved in the war room, doing some scouting. And, you know, entering into an ISFL locker room, I'll also be somebody who's a max earner and is constantly soaking up all the TPE I can, and obviously putting out media as well. So I'm definitely not somebody who's going to come into your LR and be quiet and sit on the sidelines. I joke with people all the time, you know, the MeBot ranks, you know, where it ranks your activity in a server, and it'll tell you like what rank number you are.
Yeah.
I think I'm at 15th now all time in Norfolk's locker room, and I've been there like 2 months. So I always joke with Negs. I think Negs is at like 12th or 11th that I'm going to be catching him soon. Yeah, it's something that's important to me. It's something that I enjoy. And so super, super active and excited to go. So I definitely need to have a team who's going to have an active locker room and folks who want to engage. And I think that if you have folks who want to engage, I'm somebody who can help bring out the potential in them. We've had some folks in Norfolk who have been there for a couple of years, who were earning a little bit more casually. And I feel like they've kind of caught a fever, with my class coming in and, you know, us, a lot of us max earning and trying to hit the ground running and getting the locker room hyped. And I feel like we've kind of helped, build those folks up as well. So yeah, those are what I think I would bring to a locker room, and I'm looking forward to seeing where I land Friday night and starting that process.
Yeah, that was a great response, man. I appreciate the way that you've, you know, I guess your outlook on things so far. So I'm really looking forward to seeing, like I said, where you land in the draft, and looking forward to seeing what you bring to that team. So at this point, I don't know if you had any certain things that you wanted to discuss or if you had any questions that you wanted to ask me, but this is where I would turn that over to you.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you for bold ISFL draft predictions, but then I quick asked Negs before the podcast if you were in the Philly War Room. And when he told me yes, I knew I could not ask those. So we're punting on that. Do you have any bold predictions for the next ISFL or DSFL seasons? We'll start there.
You know what? I will go ahead and make a bold prediction for the draft anyways.
Oh, let's hear it.
You will be drafted at some point Friday night.
Hey, so bold.
That's a super bold prediction there.
I don't go undrafted then?
I'm making that prediction. I'm predicting that you will be drafted at some point. you know, I think as far as the upcoming seasons, we'll start with the DSFL. You have a couple teams like Norfolk and London who are at the bottom this past season, who both look to be somebody that can be taking advantage of some call-ups for other teams. I know Norfolk seem to have just some users that have gone inactive since being there. London had an issue with a lot of call-ups, and then couple issues that went through head office with players that are no longer in the league with us. So we're kind of trying to recap from that and get back on track. But I think there's going to be a shift in power for the DSFL. I think the teams that have been consistently at the top are about to get ravaged by call-ups, and we're going to see the teams that found themselves at the bottom this season take a shot at the top. So that would include my team, your team, and a couple others. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And in the ISFL, I think my bold prediction there would be Arizona, I think, just missed their chance in their last window. I have a lot of friends over there, so hopefully I eat my words with that, because I'd like to see some of them guys get that championship done. I don't know how much you know about Arizona so far, but they've had some incredibly bad sim luck after some incredibly blessed seasons. So I'd love to see them get it done, but I just think after this season, they're going to get hit with regression at some important positions. Maybe I'm wrong about which skill positions are getting hit, but again, I think their window's closed. So I think you're going to see a scuffle for the top position over there. And on the other side, I think Baltimore, Philly are two teams to watch. A lot of young talent being stacked up on both of those rosters. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when that talent starts coming into their prime and performing. Because, again, I think you will see a complete reshuffling of power. So that's my prediction for the next season of the ISFL and DSFL, just focusing on teams that I know at this point.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we like to see. We like to see that parity and teams from the bottom building up. Quick shout out to Arizona. Lucky enough to be scouted by them for the upcoming draft and popping into a public portion of their locker room. And just had to say, it's the one locker room I've entered into where I was able to immediately start talking about soccer. And it seemed like a majority of the users were interested and knowledgeable and didn't yell at me. So shout out to to the users in Arizona. Some good folks out there.
Yeah, like I said, that was not to be taken as a slight at Arizona at all. I have some friends over there, and I wish them success. I was rooting for them in this last Ultimus. But like I said, unfortunately, it seems that they just have some terrible sim luck when it gets to the playoffs. So see another one come and go. I'm sure that was probably very disappointing for those folks over there. I'm no longer in that one, but I'm sure there was some disappointment going over there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have coming next season. But like I said, I think their window might be closed at this point. So is there any other questions you had for me or any other things that you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, just being a newer user to the league, can you give me a brief history lesson on your career in the league and maybe share a tip or two on what you feel it takes to be successful here?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not too far off of my first creation. My player is technically the S29 draft class. So I played, you know, that being that I'm sure you realize how that works with the S29 draft class. That means that my creation was for the S28 season.
Right. Right.
So I played my first year or my first season was S28. And that was my first time playing in any kind of sim league at all. I stumbled across it through an advertisement on like a Facebook sports post that I was reading. It sounded interesting. It was kind of the same rundown, I think, that they use for the Reddit post, like create your player, manage its career. Like, I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. So, you know, I had to check it out. But since I got here, it, you know, like I said, similar to the way that you talk about it, it hooked me in right off the bat. And since then, I have found myself getting involved in just about every aspect that I can. So I became, you know, I wanted to find a job. So I started jumping in. I got became involved with the media grading. Since then, I've joined a couple different committees just to do things around the league, which has led me to doing some fun stuff like hosting the League Jeopardy, which couple issues with that, but it was still a fun experience. I don't know if you got to catch any of that, but
I did not, but I know did my guy Nate Hawk or Hawk Nate get in there? Linebacker for us, Nathan Claflin, is a Jeopardy machine.
You know, I'm not sure, that name doesn't sound familiar, but we had like 12 or 13 people that ended up playing, so I don't remember off the top of my head everybody's name. There were some users that I wasn't too familiar with. But like I said, since then, just as a user, I've just tried to get involved everywhere that I can. I got the chance to take over as a GM this last season. So this was my first season as London's GM. Definitely did not go the way that I had imagined, when I took over. You know, I was, hoping with the roster that we had that we'd be able to capitalize on some other teams that were, you know, kind of lower on the TPE scale and make a run at the playoffs, but that did not happen. So as a user, I guess I need to figure out some things for London next season. But and then for my player, I created a defensive end because that is a position that I always enjoyed playing in real life. So with this being my first sim league and my first player, I decided to create there because that's, you know, that's where I enjoyed playing. I told teams when I was being drafted that I was open to switching, but luckily Philly had a need for defensive end. So I got called up this season. This is my first season in the ISFL. A little disappointing stat-wise. My player was pretty active in all stat categories in the DSFL. So I was hoping to continue that after the draft night, and unfortunately that did not happen. So be prepared, I guess, for that sink down to earth, possibly. not everybody is sim-blessed immediately when getting called up to the ISFL. And some of the most talented players that I've seen in the DSFL sometimes take a season or two to advance once they hit that next level. So just be prepared for that.
You mean I'm not going to get 10 tackles a game in the ISFL?
Yeah, don't let that bum you out. But I'd say, you know, that's kind of the brief history, I guess, of me and my player as a user there. But I'd say for you to be successful, especially if you plan to be a max earner, the most important thing is to get some kind of a schedule going. And I don't know if you've found that yet, but kind of know when you want to do your activity checks, your PTs, things like that. Even when it comes down to like the weekly predictions, whether that be doing them at a certain time before the sims on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, or, you know, just doing them all at one time, like some people do, just getting a routine and getting into something that works for you, I think is probably the most important thing to be successful in this league. Because once you have that routine set, you are, you know, it just depends on your level of activity. And if you plan on max earning, you have that routine, you won't miss anything.
Right on. Yeah, no, that's good advice. Yeah, I'm the person who kind of jumps on those things right when they're posted and tries to knock them out so I don't have to worry about it. But now with being in three different leagues, it's definitely a little bit different. I kind of decide what I want to knock out first and space things out throughout the week to make sure that I get things done. And it's funny because I'll tell my GMs in every league, like, hey, you know, get on my butt if I don't have this stuff done by Wednesday or Thursday. And they kind of just laugh because they know that I'm probably going to have it done like the next day. But for me, it's just good to have that backup of like accountability of like, hey, remember, you got to do this, that kind of a thing. So.
Yeah. And that's I guess that would be one more piece of advice I have for you is just make sure you don't get burnt out. It seems like a lot of people jump into a lot of things, especially now that you're in multiple leagues. And I know you're interested in sounds like getting employed and, you know, even possibly taking the next step and getting a little bit more involved in the managing of a team. So just make sure that you don't overextend yourself and don't lose your enjoyment for the league. That being said, I've dove into about as many things as I've found since I've been here. So jump into as many things as you're comfortable with. But you as a user, like I said, you seem to be very active and somebody that I would love to see stick around for a long time. So if you find yourself feeling a little burnout, don't be afraid to, you know, cut a job out or maybe take a league a little less serious than what you have been. I guess that'd be my only other piece of advice for you.
Yeah, that's good advice. You know, the leagues I'm in kind of operate on different tiers. Like ISFL is definitely, to me, my primary league. And then I'm not going to publicly state the order of my other two. but they're definitely in there. So yeah, I understand that if push comes to shove, like something's going to have to give. And for me, that's something that's going to have to give is not this league. So
yeah, I have seen a couple users that, like I said, get a little burnout and decide they have to take a break from the league, which, you know, like not trying to say that's a bad thing. If that's something that somebody needs to do, by all means, you know, take your step away. But I don't like to see people get burnout. So especially somebody who's coming in that looks like they could become a very important piece in the future of this league. So,
well, thanks, man.
So before we get wrapped up here, I do have a couple questions that I like to ask. What is your favorite sport?
Favorite sport is soccer. I kind of referenced that with the Arizona locker room a few questions ago. So favorite sport has to be soccer. I've actually found a fair amount of people within our league that vibe with that and can talk about that. And then, of course, you always have those typical football-only folks who think nothing else exists, or soccer isn't a real sport, or whatever. So, yeah, soccer.
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's the great thing about the league. It's, you know, the ISFL really is an international league. So while soccer may not be the top of the American sports list, there are definitely some of our friends in some of these European countries that would care to disagree with our take on the importance of soccer versus American football. So there are a lot of people I'm sure you'll find in some of these locker rooms that are definitely willing to talk soccer. So who would you consider to be your favorite team and why? It doesn't have to be, can be any sport that you want.
Yeah, I'll stick with soccer. Chelsea in the English Premier League is probably my favorite team. And then I have to give a shout out because I have favorite teams at different levels of play. So in Major League Soccer, it's Minnesota United. I lived out towards the Minnesota-Wisconsin border for a while and actually had some season tickets for Minnesota United. So went to a bunch of games and love that squad as well. Actually one time won a FIFA competition with a buddy of mine and got to play FIFA against a couple of Minnesota United's players, which was pretty fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. And then Forward Madison, which is a third tier of American soccer, USL League One team. I live north of Madison in Wisconsin. So Forward Madison is our local team, and my wife and I do have season tickets for them as well. So, but yeah, as far as, you know, why, I kind of answered that for Minnesota United and Forward Madison. People are like, well, why do you start following Chelsea? They're in England. And the answer to that is FIFA, playing the FIFA video games were always great games. I've been playing them for a long time. They've gotten much crappier lately, to be honest with you, but definitely had some glory days, and Chelsea was a team that I always ran with. You know, when you have Frank Lampard and Didier Drogba, Petr Cech in net, John Terry on defense, you know, the names just go on and on. It was a team I kind of fell in love with and then started to follow and started to watch on TV. And yeah, a team that I really enjoy supporting.
That's awesome. I got to be honest, I don't know a thing about soccer. So I'm not even going to sit here and pretend I know who any of those players you just named are. But I do appreciate the just general fandom of the sport. With, like I said, just the fandom of that. So what would you consider to be your all-time greatest sports memory or the greatest sports moment that you've witnessed?
Yeah, so this was a really interesting question, and I'm glad you asked this because at first I was racking my brain about, like, okay, like, is it a team that I like winning a championship? Is it a player that I like doing something professionally? But I'm actually going to bring it more amateur and closer to home. I actually had the opportunity to be a varsity boys soccer coach when I was 20 years old and in college for my bachelor's degree. And it was an absolutely fantastic experience. I did that for 3 years, but I was a 20-year-old coaching, you know, some seniors that were 18. So it was a super interesting experience. And really, it was like I had like 40 little brothers between the varsity and the JV team that I was responsible for. It was an absolute blast. And looking back now, tactically, I was not a fantastic coach at that point. I was a 20-year-old. I think I could be given a break on that. But what I was really good at with those kids was, you know, building their confidence and making them believe that they had the ability to do whatever they wanted to out on that field. So I would get it to where these kids were ready to run through a brick wall for me. And the team was kind of on the bottom of the conference when I came in. And in my second season there, in the same week, we ended up beating the top two teams in conference. And both of them were actually state ranked at that time that we beat them. So that was just an absolutely electric week to see those boys be so hyped up. And, you know, these teams that they had always talked about growing up that were always better and we're always beating them in traveling leagues and we'd never be as good as them. To see my boys beat them, beat both of those teams twice in a week was just fantastic. And they're hyped and I'm getting the Gatorade bath and it was just, yeah, so memorable. And something that I really miss, you know, kind of looking back.
That's awesome, man. I definitely appreciate you, taking the chance or taking the time to tell a story a little closer to home, you know, than something just a generic sports moment. That was pretty awesome. Like I like the insight into that moment with you.
Hey man, like I said, you know, before the pod, I'm kind of an open book and an honest person. So even, you know, when we were talking about the rumors with preferred destination and things like that, like I'm a straight shooter and I'm an honest person. So yeah, shout out to anybody in the league who wants to have a chat. Let's do it. I'll show you the real me.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your night to come on the pod. And like I said, give us some insight into you as a player and a little bit of dive into some of your personal life there. So like I said, I definitely appreciate the time that you've given me tonight.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for all you do for your teams and for the league. You're definitely one of the heavy hitters in the league and a name that I see pop up all over the place. And I know we've chatted kind of infrequently leading up to this, but it was good to talk to you voice to voice and have this time to chat.
Oh, absolutely, man. I definitely enjoyed this podcast. And like I said, I've enjoyed reading some of your media and listening to your podcasts. You seem to be one of the new up and comers that are going to be releasing weekly pods. And I've enjoyed what I've heard so far. So I'm looking forward to hearing what else you have to bring to the league. So,
well, thank you so much.
Right on, man. Like I said, I appreciate it, and have a good night.
Yep, you bet.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Special thanks to G2019 for coming on. And if you like the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.